Okay, it's a very, very special schus to be here. To be here with mothers that I know are so deeply invested in the chinuch of your sons, the chinuch of your children. And how do I know that? First of all, just a topic that I've been asked to speak about, how to develop a more meaningful relationship with your teenage sons, how to develop an inspiring relationship with your teenage sons. So the topic itself says a lot. But also that you're here. So you could say, what do you mean? We're here because we want to get out. We want to, you know, we have enough nights where our husband tells us to go into Mincha Ma'ariv when it's the most labedic time in the house. So once in a while, we deserve to get out. But if that was the case, then you'd get together and a few of you would have said you're going to the tea of Shari Prisder and gone to Doma instead. So if you're here, it means that you're invested and you truly deeply care about your son's chinuch. You truly deeply care about your son's ruchnius. You truly deeply care about raising a child who's a ben Torah, who's a bal midos, who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who loves Yiddishkeit. And that becomes more challenging every single year, every single moment in the generation that we live in. You know, the truth is, there are some women who sometimes will say, the chinuch of my son, that's for my husband. That's for my husband. I'll take the chinuch of my daughters. I'm the woman. I understand what it means to be a woman. I'm going to raise my daughters. I'm going to be mechanich my daughters, mashpia upon my daughters. As far as my sons, so that's for my husband. After all, let's be real, I'm not going to be sitting down and chazering the Gemara with my son. I'm not really holding in the Masechta. I can't really sit and learn Gemara with him. And isn't that what chinuch is all about? Just to sit and learn Gemara? And that's for my husband to do. Or to hire a Rebbe or a tutor, whoever it might be. Now, learning Gemara is very important. Now's not the time to discuss and to really delve into why that is so crucial. But the whole avodah of learning Gemara, and the whole avodah of why you spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on the chinuch of your children, is not to learn Gemara and not to learn Chumash or Halacha, but through that all to develop a really deep, meaningful relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be close to Hashem, and to be close to all that is important to Hashem. And then that statement that some might make, that the chinuch of a son is for the father and the chinuch of the daughter is for the mother, there can't be anything farther from the truth. You are the most important mechanech in your son's life. I deeply believe that. More so than his Rebbe, and more so than your husband. And it's a beferish pasuk. It's Beferish Pasuk in Mishlei, you all know it. Shema b'ni musar avicha, v'al titosh toras imecha. Shema b'ni musar avicha, v'al titosh toras imecha means, Shema b'ni, listen my son, to the musar of your father. V'al titosh, a much stronger language. Do not forsake the Torah of your mother. Musar is something a little extra, inspiration. The Torah is the foundation, is what's fundamental. Torah simecha is what ve'al titosh, you cannot forsake. Shema b'ni musar avicha, you should listen. That's a nice... But if not, you'll probably be okay. Ve'al titosh Torah simecha. Do not forsake. You can't be without the Torah of your mother. So you are the most important inspiration, the most important role model, the most important Rebbe in your son's life. And that's something very important, and something to recognize and to understand. The problem is, it's very difficult. Our sons don't always find us so cool. Our sons don't always find us so exciting. How do we develop that relationship? How do we make sure that our son is learning and gaining from all that we do deeply want to give over to our sons? So the truth is, you know, this topic really would take a long time. This is only going to be a tip on the iceberg. This is like, take many, many sessions to really deeply delve into and to understand, but we'll start. We'll start with some yesodos. And the first yesod is a Mishnah in Perkei Avos, I believe. One of the first Mishnahs in Perkei Avos says, "Asei lecha rav uknei lecha chaver, v'avedon es kol adam l'kaslas." And many people learn that Mishnah as three separate ideas. Asei lecha rav, you should make for yourself a Rebbe. It's important to have a Rav, have somebody that you look up to as a role model, someone to look up to in halachic decision making. We should acquire friends. It's important to have a social life and to have friends in your life that you spend time with, you have a good time with. Rabbi Dan is called Amakaschas, and also to judge everybody favorably and look for the best in people. But if you look closely at the Mishnah, we examine closely, Asei lecha rav ukne lecha chaver. There's a vav hachibar. A vav we know attaches two ideas. Asei lecha rav, make for yourself a rabbi, ukne lecha chaver, and acquire for yourself a friend. There's a vav hachibar telling us this is one idea, that we're supposed to synthesize those two ideas. And what does that mean? That means most important, if we're going to want to be a quote-unquote rebbe, a role model to our children, we have to make sure, first and foremost, that we're a great friend. That when our child, our son, feels that my mother is my best friend, that's when that child will be willing to look at a mother as a rebbe as well, and to learn from a mother, and be inspired from a mother. That first and foremost, before anything else, we have to be our son's best friend. You know, sometimes it's so easy, it's so very easy as parents to fall into the trap of thinking that we're supposed to be telling our children what to do and preaching and disciplining, which all does have some place. But before any of that, there has to be a great relationship. There has to be where our child feels that we're their best friend. And through that friendship is where all the growth is going to come. All the belief in us and what we have to give over is going to be accepted. That means we have to find and look into and delve into the interests of our children. And maybe they're interests that we're not so excited about, but they're excited about it. So I'm going to make sure to spend time talking to them about those interests and learning about those interests. There was a mechanech, more than a mechanech, he was a gadol in our neighborhood that many of us know, and many of us, if we didn't know of, we've heard of and learned of, Rav Shlomo Freyfeld, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Bracha. Rav Freyfeld was a reshiva who started Sheir Yashiv. Rav Freyfeld was who we should all look at as a role model and what it is to be an amazing parent, an amazing mechanech. Because all his parents were mechanechim. We're here to inspire our children, and we can't forget that. We might send our children to yeshiva to learn Gemara, to learn certain subjects, and we don't have the time on our hands and the ability to spend 24/7 in the way that we would love to. But we're all our children's first Rebbe, and we can't ever forget that. Rav Freyfeld was famous for the love and the care he had for every Talmud. But he went above and beyond. You know, one time, there was a Talmud who came in, I think it was 1970, and he came into the yeshiva, and he was depressed. He was sad. He was mamish, very sad that particular day. You know why he was sad? Because Jimi Hendrix passed away. For those who aren't holding, Jimi Hendrix was a very famous guitarist, an incredible musician. Not from our world. Jimi Hendrix died, and he was depressed. He was a big fan of Jimi Hendrix. Rav Freyfeld told him, "Come over to my house later today. And do me a favor, could you bring over a Jimi Hendrix album?" And the Talmud brought a Jimi Hendrix album, and they sat and they listened to Jimi Hendrix together. And then Rav Freyfeld talked to Adam and talked to this boy and gave him a nechama and brought him comfort. He said, "I care about what you care about because I care about you." There's another very beautiful, very famous story. There was a boy, his name was Danny. And he came to Sheir Yashiv, he joined Sheir Yashiv. And this was out of years of being lost. He grew up in a beautiful family, a frum family, wonderful parents, B'nai Torah, Bali Midos. But he was searching. He was an outdoors man. He loved it outdoors. He found his way. He left the home. He went into Montana. He found his way to an Indian reserve. And he spent years on this Indian reserve, dressing like them, learning their culture, learning their ways, learning their language. Years and years. And that's what he loved. And he loved hunting and outdoors. And there was this woman who was known as the wise woman of the Indians. This older woman. And he decided he really wanted to meet with her, to gain wisdom from her. It was a little bit of a journey, it was a few hours away, but he went and he hiked and he found this older woman. And he spent 2 weeks with this older woman. And at the end of the 2 weeks, the old woman said to this young man at the time, he says, "You're from the holy man, holy white man of the rock." Referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. "You're from the holy white man of the rock. Go and learn your own heritage. Go and learn your own religion." And he couldn't believe it. His whole life he's searching, he's looking, and here he finds this wise Indian woman, and he's told, "Go back where you came from." So he decides he has to do that, and he goes and he finds on some college campus, he finds Jewish books, and he starts learning and reading, and he goes through in like a year the entire Gemara from a Sensino in English. He still wasn't sold, he still didn't love it so much, he was trying to learn about it, and somehow eventually he found his way to Shar Yashar. And he's brought into Rav Freifeld, and immediately Rav Freifeld is told about him. What does Rav Freifeld do? He doesn't start talking to him about religion, doesn't start talking about Torah, or mitzvahs, or Hashem, or tefillah, or all that we want for our sons. You know what he starts talking about? About, "Oh, so you're on the Indian reserve, tell me about it. What was so beautiful there? Tell me how you hunt, tell me what are the ways, what are the procedures that you learn." And he starts talking to him about it. And for weeks he's in Shar Yashar, and every day Rav Freifeld will meet with him and talk to him about the outdoors, talk to him about hunting and different... And this young man couldn't believe it. But here's this Rosh Yeshiva with a long white beard and a frock and the whole look. And he's talking to him day in and day out about the Indians and about the outdoors. And slowly he started learning and growing. He became a full Baal Tshuva. And about a year later, he was in Rav Freifeld's office one day. Rav Freifeld was talking to him. Rav Freifeld had to leave, though he was asked to come out. He left the office. And this young man, he gets up and there was Svarim behind Rav Freifeld. He goes to look at the Svarim and he sees under his desk, he sees a bunch of books. They look like Svarim. He wanted to pick them up and kiss them and put them in the proper places, but they fell. And he reaches down and the first book that he picks up, the Indian culture and history. Another book on hunting. And he realized Rav Freifeld was reading up on all these subjects because it was important to him. Rav Freifeld didn't care about the Indians or hunting, but he cared about him. And that's what he took to. It was that relationship. You have no idea how many Talmidim and Talmidot I've dealt with over the years, turned off and looking to run away because their whole life they've been preached to and disciplined, and all they're looking for is a beautiful relationship. And all they want, and of course, these are from loving, wonderful parents that care deeply about their children. And wonderful people. Wonderful people. I'll tell you. I was asked to. Because the MS is, nobody in life is going to learn from or listen to somebody that they don't have a beautiful relationship with and don't think highly of. And if my whole relationship with my parents is being told what to do, so I'm going to run the other way. But if I have a mother and I have a father who I know loves me and is my best friend, a mother who's spending time with me, not just talking to me about did I do my homework and what time did I go to sleep last night and how many hours was I on my phone and what type of filters do I have on the computer. And don't get me wrong, all these things are so important, and for maybe another time we could discuss. But before any of that has to be a very deep, beautiful relationship. Has to be a friendship. It has to be that my son is my best friend. And if my son is my best friend, that's a son that's going to learn from me and is going to grow and is going to want to be all that I want for them. But I'll tell you something. Even once I build that relationship, once I build that connection, the next step is still not to preach. And it's still not to discipline. There's a very, very, very beautiful Torah. An incredible Torah from Rav Moshe Feinstein. In the beginning of Parshas Emor, it's talking about the mitzvah that's given to Kohanim, that they're not allowed to become Tameh, to only be Tahar, to only be pure. Now the truth is that's only halachically for Kohanim, but it's for each and every one of us. Because really, if we look at it in a bigger picture, what we're all striving for is to be in a state of Tahara, to be a state of purity all of our lives. And that's what we want for our children in every single way. So in that mitzvah of not becoming Tameh, the pasuk says, "Emar el kohanim bnei Aaron ve'amarta aleihem." Emar El Kohanim b'nei Aaron, say to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, ve'amar salem, and say to them. So obviously every one of us is thinking this is completely redundant. Emor el Kohanim ve'amar salem. It's completely superfluous. Why this double language, this kafa language of Emor? So Rashi already tells us that the double language of Emor is lahazir gedolim al katanim. That this is being taught to the gedolim, to those who are already older, and could understand these halachos of Tumah V'Tahara. And the second amarta is that they then have a responsibility to teach this to their children. That each and every one of us, we have this opportunity and we have this responsibility to keep Torah mitzvos, but then also to give it over to our children, to mechanech our children. That's our role. So that was the role of every kohen, to teach their own children also about Tumah V'Tahara. Amar v'amarta, that's the double language. The problem is, it's not said like that. In the Pasuk, Emor and Va'amarta are both being told to the older Kohen. Emor el Kohanim Va'amarta Lehem. There's some emphasis to them. So Moshe Feinstein says so beautifully. Just read it from him. Vinir, it seems, Shilahazir Lechane Chabanim Va'abanos. That we are being told and we're being warned and have to be clear that when it comes to chinuch, when it comes to educating our sons and our daughters, listen to this language from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Eino klum. Eino klum is a strong language. It means it's nothing. It's literally nothing. Mashiomru lehem. Whatever we tell them to do, it's completely meaningless. It's all falling on deaf ears. Mashiomru lehem is eino klum. I'm just reading you from Rav Moshe Feinstein. So what is there? What can we do? Shekein sarach la'asos im lo yirushu dover chaviv ma'od la'avim. So he says, what is education? It's what we do. If we tell them what to do, it's all going to fall on deaf ears. To be a preacher, no child is ready or wants to hear from a parent. Chinuch means I'm going to do myself to the best of my ability and more than that. I'm going to show my children in the way that I do. Shuhu davar chaviv ma'od. It's something beloved and I love it. And that's something my children will pick up on. So the emar v'amarta of the pasuk was both to the older generation. We're going to teach you the halacha and you have to keep this halacha, the emphasis in such a way that it's so passionate to you and so special to you, so beloved to you, that your children are all going to want that as well. Because they'll see that it's the most special thing in the world. See, if each and every one of us, first and foremost, build this very, very special relationship with our children, this friendship with our son, and we show interest in their interests, learn about their music, learn about what they like, learn about sit down at a PS4 and an Xbox and play NBA Live with your son. Learn how to do it. Tell him to teach you. You'll pick it up. You'll pick it up. He'll think you're the coolest mother in the world. And he'll want to just hang out with you and spend time with you. But that's only the first step. But once you develop that friendship, he's going to start looking at you. And the next step is not then when we develop that friendship to start preaching and saying, because that's ain't no klum. The next step is looking in the mirror. Am I serving Hashem in the way that I'd want my son to serve Hashem? Am I serving Hashem in a way that's passionate, that's full of love? Am I serving Hashem in a way that my children are looking at me and they see that the way I daven is with excitement, with kavana? They see what's important to me. They see how Shabbos Kodesh is important in the house. They see that it's chashuv and beloved. And then once they develop that relationship and they trust in us and they look up to us and we're their role model through the friendship, then they want to be like us. And they're going to want to be who we are. So the greatest chinuch is just living the most passionate, most special life as a Bas Torah, as a Jew. Because that's how we can give that over to our children. That's how our sons will learn from us how to be B'nai Torah. You know, I read recently something so beautiful. It's the words of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Ber Soloveitchik. And he's explaining this pasuk in Mishlei, that we started off with. Shema b'ni masara v'yichav yal p'yitosh Torah Simecha. He wanted to know, what is Torah Simecha? What is that Torah Simecha that's so crucial and that we cannot forsake? Listen to the words of the Rav. Listen to these words. He's talking about his own mother and what he learned from his mother. What chinuch he gained from his mother. And I start off with telling you, you are the most important mechanech in your son's life. And you see that his mother was his. Listen to what Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik, who was known as a goyin holding kol ha-Torah kula. In the previous generation, you could count on your fingers how many were holding in Torah the way he was. Yet, listen to what he says about his mother in Torah Simecha. And trust me, his mother wasn't teaching him Gemara, and his mother wasn't teaching him Chumash, and his mother wasn't teaching him Halacha or Rambam. Listen to what his mother taught him. He says, what is Torah Simecha? What kind of a Torah does the mother pass on? I admit that I'm not able to define precisely the Masoretic role of the Jewish mother. Only by circumscription I hope to be able to explain it. Permit me to draw upon my own experiences. I used to have long conversations with my mother. In fact, it was a monologue rather than a dialogue. She talked and I happened to overhear. What did she talk about? I must use an halachic term in order to answer this question. She talked to me in Yoyna de Yoyma. I used to watch her arranging the house in honor of a holiday. I used to see her recite prayers. I used to watch her recite the Seder every Friday night. And I still remember the nostalgic tune I learned from her very much. Most of all, I learned that Judaism expressed itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. She taught me that there's a flavor, a scent, a warmth to mitzvahs. I learned from her the most important thing in life, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. Without her teachings, which quite often were transmitted to me in silence, I would have grown up a soulless being, dry and insensitive. The laws of Shabbos, for instance, were passed on to me by my father. They are part of Musar Avicha. The Shabbos as a living entity, as a queen, was revealed to me by my mother. It's part of Torah Simecha. The fathers knew much about the Shabbos. The mothers lived the Shabbos, experienced her presence, and perceived her beauty and splendor. The fathers taught generations how to observe the Shabbos. Mothers taught generations how to greet the Shabbos and enjoy her 24-hour presence. So you have the greatest chus in the world to be a mother. There's a reason why Yiddishkeit goes through the mother. If my mother is Jewish, I'm Jewish. That tells me something very real. That tells me that the mother is the most important role model in the lives of a child. And let's be honest, let's be real. Our mothers are home much more often, generally, than a father. And not that a father doesn't play an important role as well. But there's no one more important than you. And we have to have a very special relationship with every one of our children. And especially with our teenagers who are searching, who are looking. And in this generation, so easily to find in so many places. So each and every one of us has to make sure, first and foremost, we have that beautiful relationship. We have that friendship. We have that closeness to where no matter what, they feel connected to me. They feel close to me. They feel that I love them. They know that I'm their best friend. And once we develop that relationship, then they'll look at me as a role model. And if I look in the mirror and make sure I'm my best self, and I make sure that I'm living up to who I'm supposed to be as a Bas Torah. And I'm making sure that I'm giving over the Hislavas, the passion for Torah mitzvos. Then we'll be zoicha that our children will follow in our footsteps. We'll be zoicha to watch our children grow b'derech Torah mitzvos. We'll be zoicha each and every one of us to only have Yiddish and Nachas from our children. But let's remember one last thing. And this is make sure to have patience along the journey. This doesn't always work overnight. It doesn't always change overnight. It takes time. It takes a lot of savlanus, a lot of patience, A lot of patience along that road and along that journey, but the goal is the end result. The goal is to watch and our children grow with our Torah mitzvos, and even if there are bumps along the road, to keep that very special relationship, to keep that friendship, and to keep and never give up, never be misyayish, and know that if I have that relationship, and I know that I'm giving over and showing my children what Torah mitzvos is all about, we'll all have that nachas. And in the end, we'll be zoicha. It's only simcha, only bracha. Each and every one of you should be zoicha, simcha, bracha, and your beautiful families. We'll have good things to think about. Have a wonderful rest of the night.